EAA's Young Eagles program. Inspiring, yes, but is it effective? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the Arrow News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. Today, we're going to hear the conclusion of a conversation we started yesterday between ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and Tom Poberesny, Chairman and President of the Experimental Aircraft Association. One of the highest-profile programs EAA offers is the Young Eagles program, which offers teenagers their first ride in small general aviation aircraft, then follows up with further support toward earning a pilot certificate. In the controversy surrounding the search for Poberesny's successor, one of the charges that was aired among all the venting has been that the Young Eagles program has been ineffective.
One of the items that came up in some of the correspondence we saw was the question of what Young Eagles has accomplished. Now, I don't think anybody denies that it's a truly inspiring program. But when you look at, about 1.25 million people have been...
Million and a half
have been flown now through Young Eagles. Do you have any way at this point of really quantifying both the reality now and the future potential of how many pilots or aviation professionals that's actually turned out?
Well, a couple of things, Jim. Number one, anybody who questions that has not been close enough to program to really understand it, and that's unfortunate. It would be difficult to quantify exactly how many pilots and so forth. We have more than anecdotal data in terms of young men and women that have gone on to become corporate pilots, airline pilots, mechanics, flight, air traffic controllers, etc. Some of whom probably would have done that anyway, regardless of Young Eagles, and some who wouldn't have. So there are what I'm going to call a step above anecdotal measurements. Beyond that, the visibility that it's given to aviation in terms of bringing people to the airports and so forth is important just as a public relations value. And you know how important PR is right now with the way aviation's been under attack from all quarters in terms of user fees, discretionary funds being spent on small airports, etc. The last thing is that we're really, the Young Eagles is the first step of many. As you know, we announced with Sporties the Next Step program in terms of private pilot written. We're working on scholarships for first flight lessons. So Young Eagles is going to be expanding significantly to reach out to these young people that once they become 18, 19, 20, 21, we continue to engage them in aviation going forward. So it isn't going to be just Young Eagles as you and I know it from 5 years ago. It's going to be a much more significant program going forward.
Well, let's obviously, the whole concept behind Young Eagles was to bring new blood into a business that, well, frankly, gets grayer by the day.
Balder.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a bear getting old, isn't it? But then again, you know, there are so many folks who would have bet against me getting anywhere near 50 at this stage of the game. I think I should feel blessed. What is happening to the general membership of EAA? Is the mean age stabilizing, getting older, getting younger? What's happening with that right now?
Jim, the mean age for EAA is what's happening to it is the same thing that's happening in the aviation community. It's getting older. Over the last decade, our average age of our average members has probably gone up 4 to 5 years. We were an organization that used to have an average age in the mid to late 40s. Now it's in the 50s. And it's the same thing happened in the pilot community. So what we need to do as an organization and as an industry and as a community is engage the 20 to 40-year-old that we're losing out on. We're getting too many people that are enthused about aviation in their teens, leave it for various reasons, and don't come back till they're 45. So we are getting gray and getting older, which parallels the aviation community in its entirety, and it's a very significant issue that we need to address. There's no magic bullet solution, but it's one that if we don't keep whittling away at it, it's going to be a significant, significant problem in the next 10 years.
What do you see? Has Young Eagles had any effect on that at all, or other programs? Oh, I mean, what's it really going to take to bring this down?
Jim, it's had a small effect, but, you know, to get where we were, the pilots of World War II, the GI Bill that were trained, they're all leaving us, and we didn't ever have a mechanism for aviation to replenish those pilots. What it's going to take is a concerted effort by the industry to show the 20, 25, and 30-year-old that while they're building their family, getting established in their job, and so forth, that there are ways to participate and engage in aviation. May not be becoming a pilot right away, but there are different ways to become a part of it. It's going to be a long process, just like the sport pilot, light sport aircraft. It's one step of many that we need to do as an industry, because as an industry, Jim, as you know, we haven't been real outgoing in terms of bringing people into the industry. We've been somewhat proprietary, and that's got to change, and I think it is changing.
More with ANN's Jim Campbell and EAA Chairman and President Tom Poberesny in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is discussing the state of the Experimental Aircraft Association with EAA Chairman and President Tom Poberesny.
One of the items that's popped up consistently as an item of serious concern has been the overall handling of the 51% rule. Let's face it, for any aspect of EAA, even though it covers a gamut of sport aviation activities, it was the home-built movement that Paul built his legacy on and built EAA on. 51% got pretty badly abused over the last few years in a couple of corners. Was this a situation where EAA feels like it did what it needed to do to keep the FAA at bay, or are some of the charges of not quite doing enough a possibility here?
Well, the thing is that it's not so much keeping FAA at bay, it's protecting exactly what you talked about earlier and the opportunity for people to build a design under the guidelines of a 51% rule. And when you look back at the amateur build program over the last two, three, four, 5 decades, its contributions have been significant beyond just building your own airplane. There's contributions to design innovation, to progress made within the overall aviation community have been significant. And along the way, sometimes the rubber band of reality gets stretched sometimes, and we had to finally step in and working with the agency and working with leaders within their community to address some of the issues. I feel they have been addressed, and what's going to happen, Jim, is that we're going to have to do the same thing again 5 years from now and 5 years after that and 5 years after that, because there's always going to be gray areas that have to be kind of addressed when people step over the line one way or the other in order to protect the freedom that we have, which is pretty unique on a global basis.
Let's go back to AirVenture for a second. AirVenture has taken on a phenomenal stature in the aviation world, and I'm emphasizing world here for a reason. When you hear the words Paris, when you hear eBase, when you hear ABase, when you hear of a number of international air shows, trade shows, events, and so forth, Oshkosh has been pushed, if not near the top of the list, at the top of the list. How does Oshkosh and AirVenture maintain a lead or a prominent position in the overall international scheme of aviation prominence?
Jim, sometimes it's more difficult to maintain a lead than it is to catch up. It's a real challenge. First of all, it's a compliment to be mentioned in the same breath with Farnborough, Paris, Abu Dhabi, whatever the case may be, in terms of global stature. At the same time, as you know, we're pretty unique in the fact is that we may have the same stature globally, but we're not the same type of an event. And what happens is each year we have to look at unique aspects of the convention, deliver the service and the value, the culture, the relationships. And what keeps people coming back are the fact is it's not just the airplanes, but the people. And so we've got a formula that's working, but you have to continually monitor it and work on it each year. It's a year-round challenge. I wish I could give you the magic answer that says this is if we did this, this, and this, 10 years from now we'll still be a premier event. It's an annual effort that starts literally the day after the last one's done. And one of the things is the fact is that there's a unique culture that relates to being in Midwestern Wisconsin and late July with all the things that come with it, weather-wise and grounds-wise. And that unique culture is, I think, what makes it special because, as you know, Jim, when you're walking the flight line, you never know who's going to walk by you. Levi's and tennis shoes could be the head of Airbus, the head of Boeing, or the guy who just finished building an ultralight. That's what makes it unique.
Tom Poberesny is the chairman and president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. Find out more at www.eaa.org. Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.